Oh, it's early, but it's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is 6:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, 6:40. It's early for me. I could have done it earlier, but I was kind of reviewing some things. It is 6:40 a.m. Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. Here I am, your host for the morning. We have we didn't have a show yesterday, by the way, just in case anybody was wondering. No show yesterday, and I had an opportunity to try to get a show done, but it just wasn't going to work right. I thought about doing one last night or last evening. I got home in the afternoon. Way too many things going on. You got to spend the night on the boat on Sunday night, however, which was nice. It was a nice night to do that. However, there was a whole lot of issues with the boat. I'm glad I did stop because, holy cow, the boat was a mess. And, I needed some serious attention, which it will also need again by the end of this week. There's some serious things going on. So we'll have to see what goes on with that. But we will talk about just a random topic. It's supposed to be Topical Tuesday today. We missed out on Mishmash Monday. So this is going to be a mishmash of Topical Tuesday stuff. No specific topics, really, other than just some stuff that's in the news. And other than that, we're going to talk about what's in my cup. I have, in my main cup, of course, I'm back to having some creamer now. I have Almond Joy creamer with my chai. And in my backup cup, I have the last of my peach tea. I'll have to be making some more of that probably today or tomorrow. It's getting a little bit funky. It's just a little bit old. It's mostly ice, melted ice, peach water with a little bit of funky tea. So it's not the best backup cup this morning. It doesn't have that awesome, wonderful taste to it. There's this place in this region. I don't think there's any actually in this county, but there's west of here. There's a few of these. They're called Sophia's. I think it's called Sophia's Pancake House, or Sophia's House of Pancakes. One of the two. I can't remember what it was. I think it's just Sophia's Pancake House, and so they have a breakfast lunch menu. I don't think that they have dinner. I think that they close around two or three o'clock in the afternoon. But there's a few of them in the northwest part of the state here in Indiana. And we had breakfast there yesterday. My wife has never eaten there. I've eaten there probably twice, I think. Once I know for sure. I think I've been there twice. It was nice enough in the morning. They actually have a little outdoor seating area. We were able to sit outside. And it's kind of just like a step above a Waffle House or an IHOP or something like that. It's more of a locally owned style thing, but even though they have a few, I think it's a regional thing. They have very good food. It's not cheap necessarily, but it's very good food with and a lot of food, a lot of food. In fact, I should have probably eaten my leftovers this morning. I got the meat lover omelet, which also comes with, you can have toast or pancakes with that. And you can also have, and of course I had fruit instead of hash browns and, They had sweet tea there, and it was probably some of the best sweet tea. I would stop in there just to get their sweet tea. It was really good. Of course, Chick-fil-A was right across the street, just down a couple blocks, and that would have been good too. So if I'm going to drive around and get sweet tea, it's going to be, I'm going to go through the drive through there and just get it. But it would almost be worth stopping to get this sweet tea. It's right up there with, the ranks of, they make it fresh every day. They know how to do it. And they do an awesome job with it. And it's very good. So, and they serve it to you in a little mason jar, which is kind of cool. That's my tea report for the day. Now, getting on with the news, some of the things happening, of course, and you get Israel. I don't talk about this very often, but there's something that Trump did disturbs me, concerns me, kind of a little bit confuses me here. And he's pretty proud. Of course, he's proud of everything he does. But he did this thing recently, made an announcement I believe it's part of the arrangement with the tariff issue that we had with China. I think it's part of the negotiations there. He's going to allow 500,000 Chinese students into the country. Student visas from China. Now, if you understand what's going on with China, they interrogate their students that they send here. Now, I've worked with some people from China. There's a couple guys from in our company, the company that I work for currently. And I have worked with one of these folks who actually he's still like he's taking his family back to China to celebrate the Chinese New Year. I'm not sure if that would just happen or if it's happening soon. And I know he was looking forward to vacation time, and I think he was taking off going back to China to celebrate the New Year. So I'm not sure when that was or is. I was thinking it was this month or next month. I'm not sure. But so obviously he still has a lot of family there. He still travels back and forth. Now, was he really going back for the New Year? Or was he going back to report on what he sees here? It's one of those things where, and you know, the Chinese government, the CCP is very careful with people who are going back and forth to the United States. They need to know what's going on here. They're going to send a balloon over here to do whatever they're doing. They're going to all the stuff that they do. It's all about interrogation. There's of course all the electronics that they build. They have found things in some electronics devices. People who look over the circuit boards and examine everything, they have found oddities and things that shouldn't be there on the circuit boards. They're not sure what they do. And they look at the circuit board and there's something there and it's like, And they found some communication devices, some kind of data control devices in certain power, what do they call it? Like transformer power type systems, like inverters and that kind of stuff. Why would you put stuff like that in there? It's just weird. So they're definitely very concerned and monitoring everything that's going on here. They want to know everything about everything that's going on here. And it's understandable. Now, there's two sides of this whole thing. And this is where people, I think a lot of people of faith even get some things wrong. They don't see how this is creeping into their lives under the guise, and what I'm talking about is the end times, all the end times stuff, where they're going to be able to monitor everything you do and control everything you do financially, having a grip on that. It used to be that everybody was worried about people listening in on their phones, people listening to bugging devices, all that kind of stuff. And now they carry around a phone that basically gives their location 24 hours a day. It just you can't hardly leave your house without your phone without feeling like you've just left your whole life behind. And it's we want to do that. It's like that we're willingly taking those things and we're taking pictures of everything in our life. We're doing all this stuff. We have our financial situation, our financial information on our phone. We have everything's there, a little device. We're carrying it around everywhere. And it's listening to you all the time because, hey, if I say, hey, so-and-so, he's going to pop up and want to answer the question. Well, it doesn't just turn on when you use that name. It's listening for that name all the time. So it's listening all the time. So this is the kind of stuff that we, it's all this information, and it's not so much that they're looking, at you because they want to know about you. It's a general thing. And here's how this creeps into our lives, especially with other things, is they're doing this mostly, but large companies, corporations are doing this for marketing purposes. They want to know where people are steering towards, how effective their ads are, what their products are that they're buying, how much money they have, the average consumer. This is why when you go to purchase something and they have you fill out all this information, like you go to sign up for your warranty or you do something like that, whatever it is, or sometimes it's just purchasing a service, they ask you all these questions. average household income, all this stuff they want to know. They want to know demographics, because for sales information, they need to know who to target. Who's our main customer? Who's buying? Who's selling? What seasonal buying do they do? What other things are they buying? What are our competitors getting? What are they doing with our competitors? All those things, they want to know all those things, because they can position themselves in the market differently. It's all about market share. That's where, you know, the government, they want to know your information, but they don't. It's, you know, other than the IRS, they don't really care. The thing that is happening to us is that there's this. You want to talk about an oligarchy? It's not the oligarchy. It's government. It's the phony shell of a it's a guise, if you will. It's not the actual thing that we need to be concerned about. It's all the marketing issues that will creep its way into our convenience. The convenience of walking into a store, just taking what you want and walking out, and it automatically charges your account without even going to the register. We don't even like going to a checkout person anymore. We just go to we're willing to pay the same amount of money and go to the cash, you know, self-checkout. Think about that. How many jobs are, you know, being tossed aside for this self-checkout thing? Look at how many self-checkout things there are. How many people are losing their jobs there? You got one person overseeing 15 of those little machines. Otherwise you'd have probably 5 people doing the checkouts, and of course it'd be backed up till who knows when. So that's the kind of stuff that's happening with this whole thing. But, you know, China, so he did this thing where he has these 500,000. You know, 50,000, okay, that's still a lot, but I can see, okay, 50,000. 500,000 Chinese students. Now, granted, they come here and they pay full price, full tuition. Maybe some get scholarships, but that's the issue with a lot of these immigrants. They talk about the immigrants come here and overseas people come here and get education here. They pay full price. No, they don't. Most of them do not do that. But the Europeans, so there are many students who come here, get scholarships and grants. They do not pay full price. I guarantee you this: the school will see the full price. The school will get reimbursed. This is one of the phony things about all this stuff, is that the school still gets their money. Let's see what I got going here. I'm taking an Uber a little bit later today to get it's story time. So now I'm getting all this information here from my Uber. I scheduled an Uber for this morning. Friend of mine, I loaned my motorhome out to somebody, and he took the thing down to just not that far away, about an hour and a half away down, close to Fort Wayne. And he was there for a couple of days. He wasn't feeling that good when he left, but he got down there and he started feeling worse, and ended up in the hospital. Came back here. He lives up, well, he actually lives in Florida, but he came back up in this area to go to the hospital. And if they found some serious issues, and needless to say, he's still in the hospital, but he hasn't been cleared yet to get out, but he thought he was going to get out yesterday or today. Actually, he's feeling a lot better after the first day he was there, but they just want to make sure they're going to wash some things. So they're doing some things with him. Meantime, he can't get out of there, so he can't get back down there to get me down there to get the motorhome back. And so I'm going to be going down there to get the motorhome today and drive it back. But good news is the motorhome's working so far, unless something happens to the way back, which, you know, probably will. That's probably the case. The way this year has been going, all my toys and all my cars are broken. Everything's broken, except for, you know, I'm slowly getting things fixed. Even my mower is sitting out in my yard, not running right now. Extremely frustrating, considering I was able to get 6 weeks off for family leave. And then not get anything done. I shouldn't say I didn't get anything done. I did get some things done, but I didn't get nearly as much done. Very frustrating, to say the least. It's very frustrating. To the point where I don't see how, you know, I probably could have gotten a summer's worth of stuff done in the last 6 weeks, but now it's going to, the rest of the summer, I don't know. I did get some things cleaned up in the garage, but even that is still unusable. Because I couldn't get my truck done in time. I ordered some parts for the truck because I needed the truck to do some hauling of some things and do some things like that. And of course, I couldn't get the truck running because I was waiting for parts. Finally got the parts. Parts were late. Well, a week late. Very frustrating. And finally got that done. And of course, they had issues getting the parts changed, of course. But I think it's running now, I think. Doesn't seem to be having any problems. How do I always get off on these topics? I go from something to this to that, and I don't know how to. Oh, because I got that. Yeah, it's because I got that Uber announcement there that they're coming to pick me up in just a few minutes. Actually, it's another half an hour, or an hour, I guess, from now. So I got to get this show in the can, get it posted before too long. It's not going to be a real long show, maybe. So a lot of things going on. This murder that took place, attempted murders, and very strange situation going on in this Minnesota thing. Of course, now everybody's debating and bantering back and forth whether this guy is a left-wing lunatic or a right-wing lunatic. Let's settle on one thing. The guy is a lunatic. The guy has serious mental issues. Apparently, his wife was picked up. They found his wife before they found him. And it's a very strange, strange story. Now, I don't know. She was found with cash. Multiple passports, which is doesn't. This is, of course, initial news reports, and I just don't take much of what they say initially with a whole lot of credibility. multiple passport. I have multiple passports. I have, but they're all the same passport. I have a passport that's a book, and I also have a little card. You call that multiple passport. Oh, he has multiple passports. It's the same passports. That one of them's in the card form, it looks like a credit card, and the other one is which is a form of identification, but you can't use it to go across the border. I think you can to Canada. I think you can use it to Canada. But if you're driving, that's the key there. But it's also just a separate form of government ID, and you don't have to pull out the whole. Book thing, you know, it's much easier to carry with you. I got both of those, and it's the same, but it's the same passport. It's the same document, basically, other than one is looked at differently than the other, and you can put stamps in the one. And you can't. So that could be considered multiple passports. I don't know what she had. I have no idea. Maybe she had different passports, different names, different identities in different countries. I don't know. I don't know what she had. That's what most people assume when they hear multiple passports. She also had a bunch of cash. Well, occasionally I carry cash. There's how much cash is too much cash? 1,000? 2,000? 10,000? 100,000? She was driving someplace across state lines or whatever. Of course, across state lines, go across. All of a sudden, people go across state lines every day. I don't know what the issue is there. But she was definitely on the run. She was definitely. Now, the question is, what was she running from? Was she running from the police or was she running from her husband? Maybe she knew this guy was crazy and was afraid that maybe she knew too much. He might try to kill her. Who knows? Maybe she was trying to get away to go help him I don't know. If she was colluding with the guy or if she was trying to get away from the guy. Who knows? No idea. Or possibly something else. And at this point, I don't even want to make any comments on what I think about this whole situation other than the fact that I'm thinking about the whole situation. And we need to be very careful about what we think. People are starting to, you know, the very first thing out of the news media's mouth was this guy was a right-wing terrorist that came in and killed all these left, because the people he killed were Democrat state senators, congresspeople. Attempted to kill some judicial people, I guess. I believe he killed two people. Can't remember how many he killed for sure. I hate to say because I don't want to disrespect anyone, but he tried to kill people and their families. And he had a kill list, which is weird. It's just, who writes down on a piece of paper the people, if you're that passionate about killing certain individuals, why would you write their names down and carry it with you? It's like a to-do list. I put down a to-do list or a shopping list. A lot of times I'll write it down because I'll make notes on it and do all kinds of things. It's much easier to do than pulling out my phone and trying to type things in with my thumbs. I'll just sit down and just kind of jot things down. And process of doing that tends to help me, you know, rather than trying to do something with my phone. Stick it in my pocket and there it is. I just pull it out, look at it in the store. It's just not a big deal. It's just something just work like that. So I don't know what he was doing. And why do all these people have manifestos? I'm going to make my manifesto. I'm going to post it online, and then I'm going to go out and do some kind of crazy thing. What's with all these manifestos? I've never made a manifesto in my entire life. Manifesto. Well, we're looking at the killer's manifesto. Okay. Well, what? Just, I guess people with manifestos. Maybe we should just put them on a watch list. Apparently, because that's their next step. Apparently, is to go out and kill somebody. I don't have a manifesto, and I don't plan on killing anybody. If I did have a manifesto, I guess that means apparently I've got some plans in mind. How does that happen? I don't know. It's time for chai. We have a couple of wars going on. And I don't know. I guess Trump has made some statements recently. This whole thing between Israel and Iran. It's a pretty serious situation. And I guess Trump has supposedly given Iran some ultimatums. I guess he's given them a deadline of some kind. I don't know what that means. Now, Lindsey Graham, so to tell you something, you'd have thought that his, you know, that a 10-gallon drum of ice cream had just showed up at his door, the way he responded to Israel bombing Iran. Lindsey Graham wants nothing more than a forever war and all kinds of attacks on other countries. It's weird. And one of the things that's weird about that is apparently, just a whole lot of things there that are weird. And does South Carolina, I know I've been there. Now, I know Charleston, that area is very high. They have a lot of military is a big deal there in their state. I think it's part of their, maybe it's a big part of their GDP. I don't know. And maybe the what's so-called military industrial complex is a big part of his income. I don't know if he's got an in with them. I don't know if that's a big part of his, how he gets reelected every year. How does he get reelected every year? Republicans across the nation do not really appreciate Lindsey Graham that much. He's not very well liked. He's tried to run for president a few times. He's kind of like the Joe Biden of the Republican Party. He's never been able to get more than 1% of the vote, as far as I know. Maybe 2%. I don't know what he got. He's been in the primary several times, and he never gets very far. And the same as Joe Biden. Joe Biden was the same way. He ran for president, I think, since 1978 or something. He's been running in the primaries. Never been able to get any kind of, you know, until he all of a sudden he became the VP. They picked him as the VP because he was kind of this innocuous old man who they didn't think would be a problem. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he becomes president. Not by a primary, by kind of forcing it down in people's throats in 2020. And then, of course, he gets it back to him when they force him out of the primary, or force him out of the, no, there wasn't a primary. The Democrats, they have the anointed one that they choose, and this has been going on since 2008. Now, in my opinion, Al Gore, of course, he was the VP for Bill Clinton, so of course he was the anointed one in 2000, I should say, the 2000 election. So he was the one. He was the one because he was in succession there. You know, he was the VP, so he was the first pick, natural pick for that. So he stepped in, of course, lost, and then 2004. I think was it McGovern? That wasn't McGovern. Was it? That was McGovern. Ran against Bush. Lost miserably. Of course, that was, you know, this is right after 9/11. Bush was very popular. And they put up a very weak candidate. Or no, maybe it was John. Was it John Kerry? It was John Kerry. That's right. McGovern was, I'm in a different century. It was John Kerry ran in 2004. Again, very poor candidate. Nobody liked the guy really very well. He had run before as well. He'd run some primaries as well. But and I think even Joe Biden at that time was in the primaries with it in 2004. He's been in the primary about every time. And so you have this kind of constantly going on. Lindsey Graham is one of those individuals, and he just doesn't do well nationally. So how does this guy continue to get reelected every year, every term, every whatever it is? He's a senator, so I think it's every six. He stays in there, and he's the sleaziest, greasiest, one of the. As far as the Republican Party goes, he's probably one of my top favorites to be ousted. Yet he still, you know, gets invited onto all kinds of shows like Hannity and everything else. I would invite him to be interviewed on my show. Now, I don't do interviews on my show typically. That's maybe something I would do in the future, possibly, maybe in a couple of years after I retire and become a little more, things change a little bit here in a couple of years. But this idea that that Lindsey Graham's just gone off the rails with this, they're just ecstatic about the fact that, you know, we're going to war. Now, how we're going to support, you know, Trump says we're very supportive of Israel. So nobody supports Israel like we do, of course. And the question is, what exactly does that mean? And exactly how far does our support go? I guess we'll just have to wait and see how this all unfolds. I don't know what happened over the night. I know that I was very tired yesterday. I took a little nap yesterday afternoon, and it turned into like an hour-long nap. And then finally got some things done. I had to wash and wax the one car and it's just time for it. And got that done. Well, then, of course, and it was dinner. Of course, one of the things, you know, coming back home yesterday, we picked up the dogs, and on the way back home, we had to kick the ass and do this and do that, and I had to stop here and stop there and do this and that and everything else. And we had to get the dogs, and we had to get gas. On the way to get gas, we had to drive through town. Well, of course, driving through town, there was some issues there. So it was hot in the car because, you know, just the air conditioners wasn't keeping up. Dogs, you know, you got two dogs and two people in the car. Sun's beating down on you. It's hot outside. It's humid. The one dog got a little overheated, threw up. And so we had to stop the car, clean that up, do all that stuff. Got the gas done, got all this stuff done. And then went on our way to wherever we went. I guess we went home after that. Yeah, there you go. This is what life was like yesterday. Didn't even touch the mower yet. Pretty sure it's going to need some parts. I think the ignition's shot on that thing. The coils. At least one of them is, I know. I know one of them was in pretty bad shape, so I'm assuming that's probably what it is. It'll run just fine, and all of a sudden just shuts off like you turn the key off. I'm pretty sure it's what's going on. And I checked the key switch, and it's fine. So, anyway, there you go. That's all stuff in my life going on. So you got the Israel-Iran thing happening right now. And it's very disturbing. My nephew lives there, has lived there for many years, and it's really disrupted everything. And he had a small business. He's kind of put that on the back burner right now, just because things are a little bit crazy. He's picked up another little kind of a job that he's just doing that in the meantime, trying to make ends meet, which is a little bit tough. So it's just very difficult. War is never easy, you know, no matter what happens. So we'll have to see here what happens in the next couple of days. Now, there's also all the political stuff with all, and again, I want to talk about this a little bit. This is probably one of the biggest things on my list of things to talk about, is the whole protest thing. Again, and we've talked about this before. I know I've talked about it extensively. This whole idea that these protests actually work. The what are you trying to accomplish? There's a comedian. He's very he's very. I'm just gonna say vulgar. I guess the only thing I'm gonna say. He's not exactly the most what is the word? But he makes sense here. He's like he calls them, you know, idiots, and he doesn't say it in a nice way. He uses all kinds of expletives to. He's talking about these people who are out doing holding up the signs, especially the pre-printed sign. When you look at the whole thing, the way it's organized, it's ridiculous. People are not spontaneously showing up for these protests. And when you dig into most of this, what gets really disturbing is how the talking points are all generated by one centralized place. And so they have the same thing that they're all saying the same time, same thing. The posters all have the same, they're pre-printed. They carry them around in vans. They take them to different locations. They have these professional activists that provide all this stuff and do all this stuff. Where's the money coming from? Where, you know, who's making the signs? Who's printing the signs? Who's paying for all this? Who's paying the people who show up for this stuff? Because most people don't have the time in their busy lives to go out and protest about something that they really don't know anything about. And yet, the reason these people protest, is it really to change the issue? So you're dealing with something. You're going out and you're protesting something. Is that no King's Day? We're gonna have no King's Day. We're gonna have 2,000 demonstrations across the country. Well, that's like 400 per state. I'm sorry, it's 40 per state. 40 per state. I didn't see 40 in my state. That would have meant there was gonna be one in every town. Pretty much. Big town. Towns larger than 50,000 people. Because there's fewer than 400. Sorry, I got the 400 number. There's like 380 cities in the United States that are over 100,000 people, population of 100,000 people. In Chicago, they got 14,000 people to show up, supposedly. These are the numbers that supposedly people saw or heard about. 14,000 people showed up. It was probably half that, maybe a third that, actually. They typically, the left has a tendency to do this all the time. And both sides do this, but the left does it all the time. They overestimate the numbers of people who show up for their demonstrations. If you just show up to watch the demonstration, or if you just happen to be in town, in the area, they'll count you as one of the demonstrators. So they claim that there's 14,000 people showed up for this demonstration in Chicago. Well, that's a town of, over a million people are there on a weekend. And you can only get 14,000 people to show up for this demonstration. And a lot of those people were not even from there. I guarantee you they bussed some of those people in, or they came in from out of town. Because nobody understands the no kings. He's not a king. He's not a king. He's trying to be a king. No, he's not. He's not a king, and he's not trying to be a king. First of all, he was democratically elected, unlike your party does things. But it's the only playbook they have is we have to get Trump's poll numbers down, and he has to be removed because he's trying to be a king. Eric Swalwell, before these murders happened, he comes out and he says, "We have to show up on Saturday for No Kings demonstrations, or democracy dies." Well, that's not hyperbolic, is it? I guess you're right. So nobody shows up, I guess democracy dies. So is that what happened? Because nobody showed up, by the way. Most of the demonstrations were peddled out. The weird thing about this deal in Minnesota, they canceled all the demonstrations in Minnesota because this guy, they found No King's Day papers, I guess, or No King's paperwork or whatever, pamphlets in his car. So they thought that he was going to target the No King's, he was going to maybe do something possibly there. Then they realized this guy used to work for Tim Walz. So what is this? Was he a No Kings supporter? And he went after these lawmakers because they voted with Republicans? Or was he supposedly he voted for Trump? That's what we're being told now. Who knows? Was somebody there in the booth with him and saw it? I don't know. This is what happens when you get polarized situation and people contribute to it and don't realize that. When you get on social media, the only thing you're posting is stuff that you're copying and pasting about all this stuff. And you never backtrack. You never make any corrections. You never stop and ponder anything that you post. You just post it. And it's all based on a narrative. You base everything that you have on a narrative that's very ambiguous and very subjective. You don't have any proof of anything. You don't have anything. It's just one thing after another. And it's all based, that has its foundation in this narrative, this idea, ideology. And it's all just, it's doing nothing but bringing chaos. You're not bringing any kind of unity. Unity at any cost, I don't agree with. We have to have unity around the truth. And we can all discuss on things that are in the gray area, the subjective things. We can all discuss those all day long. But we can't do that unless we can settle on what is true, what we know to be true, and we can work from there. But until then, and have a vision for what we're going to do. Until that, it's just rhetoric, and we talk past each other. But there's nobody in either party, really, who is coming out with this idea of a vision to move us forward as a nation in the country. And Trump is probably the only person who is, but he's been so disqualified by people on the left because he's Trump, and because they have to have their way. It's very disgusting and very disturbing, actually, in many, many ways. But we're going to see how this rest of this week unfolds. Now, I have plans to have a show tomorrow morning and Thursday morning. It looks like both of those mornings are pretty sure I'll have shows on those two mornings. The and I'm possibly going to have a live show in one of those two. Friday morning is unknown. I return back to my workplace, and it's very ambiguous in terms of they haven't scheduled, because of FMLA, they haven't scheduled me for anything other than just knowing that I'm going to be working. I don't know what are we doing? Probably going to be on standby initially, but I just don't know what time that starts. So who knows whether there'll be a show on Friday or not. So I might make the Thursday show the show of the the live show, what we're going to call it. I'm not sure what time it's going to have to be. It's going to be fairly early. Because I do have to be up in Michigan in the morning, but we'll see how that goes. But, thanks for listening this morning. Thanks for being with me. And we'll be, checking in on the news here. I got about an hour and a half that I can spend, just listening to some things and taking some notes. I'll be traveling in the back of an Uber for a little while. So hopefully that will go well, and I'll be back here by noon, and I got some other things to do this afternoon. I get my yard mowed. So hopefully you get your yard mowed. Folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care. See ya.